Let's open our Bibles, please, in 1 John chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse number 5, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 5 to verse 15. Let's follow the reading of God's precious truth together, please. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And God will add his blessing to his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, last Lord's Day, we were looking at the witness, the three witnesses on earth, it says in verse number 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And we had the witness of the water, and we sought to understand what that meant, and what knowledge it brought to our hearts. And then we looked at the witness, not only of the water, but of the blood. And then finally, we considered the witness of the Spirit. And God directed our thoughts as we meditated upon those things. You'll notice then in verse number 7 it says, and there are three that bear record in heaven, or bear testimony, or witness in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there we see the witness of the triune God. There are three witnesses from heaven who bear witness who Jesus is. Remember, we looked at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the voice from heaven came, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We also see the witness of the Father in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in Matthew chapter 17, and verse 5, it says, and while he yet spake, that was Peter spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And once again, we see the witness of the Father concerning the Son. And the witness of the Father is this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then he said, listen, hear ye him. And then secondly, we have the witness of the Word. Now, of course, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, we find out who the Word is. Because in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there we find that indeed this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he's bearing witness of himself. Now, of course, the word, a word, is a very interesting thing. Because a word is the expression of an idea. And the word is a thought that is expressed. It's an idea or a thought that is expressed. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we remember that God has a message for man. God has a message He wanted to deliver to this world, friend. And how did He do it? How did God deliver His message to this world? A message of pardon, a message of forgiveness, a message of salvation. He delivered it in a person. And what He wanted to say, He said in a person because He sent His only begotten Son, the living Word. And He sent Him down into this world, who was God of very God, and became man of very man, and He became the very revelation of God to men, because He was God manifest in the flesh. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me say, Jesus Christ was everything that God wanted to say to man. Everything that God wants to say to us, God has said in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus bears witness to this fact that He is indeed the Son of God. If you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and if you come with me, please, in John chapter 14, in verse number 8, let us just read a few verses here. Here's the witness of the Son. Philip said unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Here is the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is witnessing. He said, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Now, turn back to the book of John's Gospel. Just one other thought I want to leave with you when we consider the witness of the Son. That is the witness of the Lord Jesus concerning Himself. And in John's Gospel, chapter 8, would you go with me to verse number 12 of the 8th chapter, and let us read there. Then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, and ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus saith, or answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. For if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And there we see here, in those words, we see the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning Himself. There is three that bear witness or record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And of course they all agree. They all agree that Jesus Christ indeed is the Son of the living God. And there's one message from the three of them: that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of the living God, but He is the only way to God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now you'll notice in verse number 9 it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And whenever we think of those words, my friend, I ask the simple question, do you believe the witness of God? Do you believe the witness of the water and the blood and the Spirit? The three that bear witness on earth. Do you receive the witness of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Word and the Holy Ghost? For these three are one. And God's witness is far greater than them. That's what it says in verse 9. The witness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit beareth witness concerning who Jesus Christ is. For this, verse 9, is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And then it says, he that believeth on the Son of God, verse 10, hath the witness in himself. Friend, do you believe that witness? Or maybe there's someone here this morning, and to this very moment, you have never yielded to the witness of God. You have never believed. You have rejected the evidence that is before your heart, before your minds, before your eyes. Can God not be trusted? Friend, if you believe not the witness of God concerning His Son and the way of salvation through His Son, then you call God a liar. You call God a liar. And remember that Titus 2 verse 1 says, Titus 1 verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, God who cannot lie. Thank God He cannot lie. And we receive the witness or the evidence concerning His Son. Now you'll notice when we do receive that, what happens? It says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And this, verse 11, is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And here is the result of receiving Christ, friend. It is the receiving of the gift of God, which is eternal life. And that life is in His Son. Have you experienced the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? In the book of Romans chapter 6, 23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John chapter 10, 28 says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And today you and I can know what it is to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Friend, that's as simple, it's as clear as that. If you have the Son of God, if you have received the Son of God, if you have trusted Him as your Savior and your Lord, thank God you have today. You have, not someday, but you have right now, the gift of God, which is eternal life, because this eternal life is in His Son. You know, eternal life, thank God, it can never end. Eternal life is the very opposite to perishing. John chapter 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you this morning know what it is to have the assurance of everlasting life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord? Now friend, let me tell you, this is an important thing. It is important to know that you have eternal life. People say to me this morning, how can I know that I have eternal life? How can I be sure that I have eternal life? You see, my friend, there is a great problem in many hearts this morning. And it is a problem of the lack of assurance concerning the salvation that God has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ. Dr. Cairns once said that among believers there are two extreme problems that face many believers. On the one hand, he said, there is the problem of presumption. Presumption. And when he was speaking about that, and I quote, he said, you know, there are those who never, they've never a doubt, they never question. They seem so sure. Yet, he said, in reality, there's little evidence of the marks of grace in their lives. They speak about the assurance that they haven't a doubt about salvation, and yet there is no corresponding marks or evidences of the indwelling of the Spirit of God in their hearts. And what they have is an empty presumption. Do you remember what David cried? He said, save me from presumptuous sins. They have no love for Christ. They have no desire for the things of God. They don't come to the place of prayer. They don't sit around the Lord's table. They don't study the Word of God, and yet they say they're children of God. Friend, let me tell you, if there's not the evidences of the grace of God in your life, are you suffering from presumptuous sins? You have a presumption that all is well because perhaps of some profession that you made years and years ago, but there's not the outworking or the evidences or the dwelling of the Spirit of God in your life that others can truly see that you are born of God. You see, we need to search our hearts, and we need to know that the hope that is within us is a hope that is true indeed and grounded in a personal living faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He said, on the one hand, there is the extreme of presumption. On the other hand, there is the extreme of doubts. And you know, when a person is full of doubts, they're full of gloom. And you know, the person who's full of doubts, the old devil torments them. And they're tormented daily. And they wonder, am I in Christ? Am I a child of God? Or will I someday at the end of the journey, will I end up in hell? Will the Lord Jesus Christ let me go? Will I let go of the Savior's hand? Will I feel the Lord and let the Savior down? And the Lord reject me at the end of it all? And their lives are filled with doubts. And their hearts are filled with despair and gloom. Let me tell you, friend, doubts are always disturbing. You know, some people doubt because of ignorance. Ignorance of the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. Yes, they are truly saved. Yes, they are truly born again of the Spirit of God. But friend, they don't spend the time in meditating upon the Word of God as they should. They don't build upon the foundation. They don't take hold of the promises of God. And because of an ignorance of the Word of God and the promises of God, they themselves are subject to doubts and to fears. And I can assure you the devil will work them up, and the devil will do everything to try and fill your hearts with doubts concerning salvation. Sometimes, of course, our doubts are not because of ignorance, but because of stubbornness. In other words, we're not willing to humble ourselves and simply accept the evidence and be convinced what the Word of God says. Come to the Word of God, friend, with an open heart. Come to the Word of God with an open mind. Listen, when the Lord says these words, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Listen to these words. For He has said. It's not the word of a man, friend, that can fail. Glory to God, it's the word of a gentleman who can never lie. And He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, we need to know with a sweet assurance that our sins are forgiven. It is said that John Knox, the great Bible teacher and godly reformer, John Knox had to deal with years with his mother-in-law. Mind you, that can be difficult enough, but nevertheless, he had to deal with his own mother-in-law concerning her doubts and concerning her fears. And they say, I believe in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone. Then the old devil will say, but are you deceiving yourself that you're really secure at all? Now the old devil comes so subtly, friend. We have got to weed this morning out the presumptions. Save me, says David, from presumptuous sins. We have got to weed out the weeds of presumption. And we have got to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and glory to God. If there's someone here this morning and you're tormented with doubts and you're tormented with fears, and my, the devil has kept you from the blessed sweet assurance that you ought to have in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, you can have assurance. We sing the words of the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. I am born of His Spirit, and I'm washed in His blood. We need to know, friend. We need to know that we're truly saved. We need to know without a shadow of a doubt that our sins are gone, that God has blotted them out, never to remember them against us anymore. You'll never have happiness in your soul. You'll never know the joy of the Lord in your soul, friend, if your heart is riddled with doubts and fears. Now, there are things that we can't be certain of. Let's be honest. In this old world, there are things that you and I can't be certain about. And we should never be ashamed to say, I don't know. I don't know. That's an honest statement. Man says, I don't know. Let me tell you this. I don't know what God's always doing in my life, friend. What did the Lord Jesus say? What I doest, thou knowest not now. Is someone here today and God's working in your life and you've got to be honest? I don't know why God's working the way He is. I must be honest before God. I can't see the plan. I can't see the purpose. But I'm yielded to God. Listen, Jesus says, what I do, thou knowest not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. There are things we don't understand or know. I don't know about tomorrow. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know the day of our death. Young man traveling down the road. And he was at the early hours of this morning. That young man's out in eternity now. He didn't realize when he got behind the wheel of the car going over Tomb Bridge. He didn't realize, my friend, when he was doing that journey. He was in his last journey. He was on his way out to God's eternity. But as far as time's concerned, friend, he's no longer here. And the Word of God says, boast not thyself. That's you and me. That's every one of us. You don't boast yourself, my friend, of tomorrow. You don't know. Why can you not boast? I have my plans laid. Listen, let me tell you, come to my dairy, preacher, and it's full. Yes, come to mine, it's full too. But let me tell you, my friend, across it's written, God willing, if the Lord will, and if He doesn't, I've got to yield to God's will. You see, friend, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The old man in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 27, he says to his son, he says, I'm old. But he says, I know not the day of my death. Friend, there's things we don't know. I don't know when Jesus Christ is returning. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, but my Father only. Let me tell you, that's a secret in the Trinity, in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I leave that with God. But let me tell you, I've got to be ready for the day of His coming. The Bible says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not. You don't know. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There's things that we don't know. But praise God, there are things that we do know. I know I'm a sinner. The Word of God tells me that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know that. Let me tell you, my friend, you're here in God's house today, and there's not one of us can boast of anything of ourselves before God. Because let me tell you, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, there is naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You know what God reminds us of? He reminds us of that man in his sin, in the state of nature. He is totally depraved. There is not a good thing in him. Now you say that's hard to take, but I know a lot of people who do a lot of good things. Let me tell you, my friend, measuring by the measuring rod of man, They are good. But the Word of God says, in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The book of Romans goes on to say, there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so therefore, if my friend, if you think that you're somehow going to present yourself at the end of the day and God's going to say to you, come on into heaven because you're good. Let me tell you, my friend, you're a fool. You're letting the devil fool you. You've blinded your eyes. The God of the world has blinded your eyes, lest the light of the gospel should shine in, because the Word of God says, in me there dwelleth no good thing. The Word of God says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says this, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. I don't care how you measure with man, friend. You might be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But as far as the measuring rod of God is concerned, let me tell you, you fall short, so do I. Of ourselves, every one of us, friend, there's not one of us, but we miss the mark. We miss the mark. We're born in sin, and we're shaping in iniquity. That's why we need life in Christ, because we are dead in our trespasses and in sin. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Things I don't know, things I do know. Thank God I know I have a Savior. Thank God I have a Redeemer. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is my Savior, my Redeemer, and my Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What Paul say? He said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The book of Job say, or book of Jude says, he is able to keep me from falling. Notice, friend, who is the keeper? Not only the Savior, but the keeper. Paul says that I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. What have I committed? I committed my soul. I've committed my all to him. Is he able to keep it? Will he only keep it for a day? Will he keep it for a week? Will he keep it for a month? Will he look after me, friend, and keep me safe just for a wee while? Or will he do it for all eternity? Listen, my friend, he said, Paul says, I know who I have believed. He didn't say, I know in whom. He says, I know whom. In other words, I'm trusting the person. I'm trusting Jesus. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, he said. Listen, there is not a doubt about this. He says, I'm fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, right to the very day when I'm going to stand before. Thank God he'll not take me half of the journey and then leave me off. Or dump me some part of the journey, friend. Listen, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Neither is the assurance that we have a Savior. I know whom I have believed. And thank God I know I'm secure. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:20. All. Some. No, all. You say to that, does that mean the difficult days? Yes, all. You know what all means. It says all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So therefore, friends, there are things that we can't be sure of, but there are things we must be sure about. And I believe with all my heart, friend, God wants you to be sure about your salvation. You need to have a certainty concerning your wonderful salvation, because if you're not sure about your salvation, you'll never be able to tell anybody else about the salvation you have in Christ, because you'll not be sure whether you have it or not. It's only when you have the blessed assurance of salvation that you can honestly say to someone, listen, I recommend my Savior to you because Jesus really saves. You ask me how I know he lives? I don't know, because he lives within my heart. See, there's the assurance. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, my friend, hath not life. We need to have assurance. Assurance makes a difference in your witness. I'll tell you, it'll change your life into a life of joy if you have the sweet assurance of your sins forgiven. If you know that your life is hid in Christ, you will have a sweet assurance. I was reading the other day, when they started to build the Golden Gate Bridge, when they started to build it, there was no safety net underneath. And because there was no safety net, 23 men fell to their death. 23 men fell to their death. They died. They spent $100,000 to put a large net under the construction. Let me tell you, friend, it did two things. First of all, it saved 11 more men's lives. Because 11 fell, but this time they didn't fall to their death. They fell into the safety net. And it did something else. Do you know from the moment that they put on that safety net, 25% more work was accomplished from the men that was working on the bridge. 25%. You know why? Because those men had the assurance of being safe. They had the assurance. They were not afraid if they fell, if their foot slipped. They knew that they were safe. And because of it, 25% more work was able to get out of the team of men. Because of the assurance of their safety. Let me tell you, friend. If you have a sweet assurance of your own salvation, then I believe you want to share it with others. You want to tell it around, let it abound, that there's life and there is an Lord. But if you haven't the assurance of your own salvation, what use are you to somebody else? How could you say to somebody else, listen, trust Jesus Christ and He'll really save you. Rest on the finished work of Jesus Christ and you'll be really, really, really saved. They turn to you. Are you? Well, I'm not sure. You imagine a boy walking up to some of you men sitting here in this meeting and saying, are you married? And you say, well, I'm not sure. They'd look at you as if you had somehow passed on or needed to pass on. Friend, you're either married or you're not. Let me be honest. You're either saved or you're not. It's either one or the other. The Word of God's very clear about this. Listen. Listen to these words. Look at verse 12 again. He that hath the Son. What is it saying? Hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. But read the rest of the verse. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He may have an existence, but he hasn't life. And there's multitudes, let me tell you, there's multitudes of humanity, and they're walking around in existence, friend, but let me tell you, they don't know life. Because look at verse number 11. This is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life. And this life is in His Son. That's where you get life. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. He says, I am the light. What did the Lord Jesus say again, friend? He says, I am come that ye might have what? Life. And you might have it more abundantly. Young people, you're searching for life. And the sad thing is this, that many of you are going after the crumbs of the world. You're crawling after the crumbs of the world. The sad thing is this, friend. And you think that that's what life's all about. A fellow walks into the pub and he fills himself with booze. And he walks out of it, friend, and he staggers from side to side. And he's a common joke. For all his mates do is, look at that idiot. Look at him. They laugh at you, friend. Just as Judas Iscariot, whenever he betrayed the Son of God with 30 pieces of silver, and my, his heart was broken because he realized that he had betrayed the innocent blood. And what did the crowd say to him? What's that to us? Then let me tell you, whenever the publican's finished with you and you give him your last penny, you're not belong a dumping you when you have nothing else to give. And the prodigal son, whenever he had nothing else to give, friend, he found out his mates dumped him too. Because when he went out into the far country and became to be in want, listen, this is what the Bible says, and no man gave unto him. And even whenever he got the husks, the food that the very pigs did eat, let me tell you, friend, he had to work for it. He had to work for it. And there he's spending his time. Not, friend, for money for food, but let me tell you, eating the food of the pigs. And that's what many a young person is doing today. They're eating the husks of the world. And the devil fools them to say, that's life. That's life. Well, friends, listen this morning. There is life in Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you, there is assurance of that life in Jesus Christ that you need to know. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know that ye have. Do you? Be honest. Be open this morning. Listen, before God, as you sit in this service, do you know, with all honesty, with all assurance, do you know that ye have eternal life? Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? You say, preacher, what's the basis of your assurance today? Well, as I close this morning, let me just start, because we're going to have to come back to this. The basis of my assurance is not as I think so. The basis of my assurance is not as I hope so. The basis of my assurance is something deeper. Something more firm. First of all, it is the witness of the Spirit. Look at verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, not of himself. In himself. Now, what is the witness? What is the internal witness? The internal witness. This witness in us. What is this witness that tells me that I'm a child of God? What is it? Well, just keep your hand there. Go back to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, it is a tremendous chapter which we always think of, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And there is therefore now no condemnation. What tremendous words that there are there in that chapter. But what's this witness that we have? Romans chapter 8, go to verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's the witness, friend. There's the internal witness. There's a witness in us. It is the Holy Spirit that indwells the child of God. Because remember, if we're born of God, we're born of the Spirit. If a man has not the Spirit of Christ dwelling in him, he is none of Christ's. You just get that clear. You cannot be saved without the work of the Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit. And it says here that the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's the blessed assurance that we are. Here's the witness. We are the children of God. And I tell you, when the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks peace with him. My, what a peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, those sorrows like deep billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Friend, let me tell you, when God speaks and bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God, then thank God it speaks peace to our soul. That's the internal witness. But secondly, and with this I close, there is the external witness. And the external witness is the Word of God. And let's go back to 1 John chapter 5, 13. These things have I written unto you. What things? What things? These things. What's the these things? The book that John has written. The things that he has written here. This book and these words that have been spoken here about the witness and the witness of the water and the Spirit and the blood and the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost witnessing concerning Christ and life as in His Son. These things have I written unto you, says John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. How do I know that I am truly the Lord's? First of all, the witness of the Spirit that's within. That's the internal witness. Here's the external witness. Because the Holy Spirit witnesses through the written Word. And here's the record that we have. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. You see, when the old devil comes with his torments and his tortures, friend, let me tell you what you do. You take your finger, see that one that you quite used to pointing at people? Tell you what you do. Instead of pointing at the people, let me tell you, just point to the book. And you take your index finger and you just put it onto that verse there. And you let the devil know what God has said. That God has written these things that we might know that we have, that we have, that we have, that we have eternal life. Not might have, but that we have. And you take them to the Word of God. We read this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 20. And in verse 31, the last verse of that 20th chapter, it says this. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. These things have you written. And friend, let me tell you, it's the blood of Christ that makes me safe. It's the book of Christ that makes me sure. Rest upon the promises of God. Here's my last verse. John chapter 5. And when you want to use that index finger, come on, use it wisely. And just you set your finger upon it. It says in John chapter 5, 24, verily, verily, and the words are truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Praise God, I'll never be in hell. Shall not come into condemnation, but look at it, but is past, not will be, is past. Thank God, 'tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord and He is mine. Is past from death unto life. Where do you find such a hope, friend? Where do you find such an assurance? It's in the Word of God. It's through Christ. He that believeth in the Son hath life. This life is in His Son. And this book bears witness to the Son of God. that He alone is the Savior of man's soul. Why did you come to Him? Listen. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to our hearts today. May someone listening to my voice in this congregation or further afield this morning look away by faith to Jesus. Rest alone on the finished work and the precious blood of His cross. We thank Thee, our God. We need no other argument. We have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for a sinner like me. In Jesus' name.